odd question to ask to get us started, kind of a different question. Who in the room has seen the Barbie movie? Yeah, a lot of hands going up. How about on Zoom? Who's seen the Barbie movie? Okay, if there were an Al-Anon doll, I would be stereotypical Al-Anon. So give me a sec as I just get set up here. I learned from folks in Al-Anon that if someone asks you to speak at a meeting, doesn't matter what meeting it is, that it means for some reason you're being called, and the only appropriate answer is yes. So thus, when someone in this room said, "I think Joyce should speak," my only answer was yes. It was the only choice. And so we decided that we wanted to have an approach that was maybe a little bit different to be able to say, what would it be like to hear from someone who's been longer term in Al-Anon and maybe someone who's been more of a middle schooler? And we pushed a little bit. We weren't quite able to get a newcomer, but maybe next time someone will be called. So I want to share a little bit about my story, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about Al-Anon literature as well. So I have now been in Al-Anon for 8 years. And 8 years ago, to think that I would be saying that I've been here for 8 years would have seemed absolutely ludicrous to me, right? 8 years. I mean, what have I done for 8 years? But there was a day that I got home from work, and my home situation wasn't acceptable. So my qualifier is my ex-husband, and it was another day of coming home to someone who was out of it, who'd had not one or two too many, but four or five too many. And I angrily stormed out of the house with my phone in my hand, and called my BFF. Let me tell you, it is really good to have a best friend who is a psychiatric nurse. You cannot ask for anything better, I'm telling you. And she said, this isn't the first time that's happened. This isn't the first time you've told me about something like this. I said, really? Right? Like my brain's ability to go into denial is epic. And it was she who said, maybe you should try going to Al-Anon. And I said, what's Al-Anon? I knew what AA was, but I didn't really know about Al-Anon. So luckily, there's a great website. I go online and I find a meeting that is in a little church in San Francisco that was pretty close to my office, and they had noontime meetings. And I went to my first Al-Anon meeting. And like a stereotypical Al-Anoner, what did I want to know? How do I stop the drinking? Everything will be good if he just stops drinking. My life will go back to normal. And you heard me say a few things, and I was pretty quiet at first. I didn't talk a lot. I listened, and I thought, well, this isn't going to do any good. No one's talking about how to stop the drinking. What the heck is this about? But I kept coming back. You said keep coming back. So I kept going back. And slowly it started to sink in that I started really listening to the reading. And I loved to read. As a kid, I read everything I could get my hands on. So I went to town. The literature rep must have loved me. I was buying every single book I possibly could. And I started to catch on that it wasn't about fixing him, that it was about fixing me. But it took a long time to get there, right? And I thought, I don't have any alcoholics in my life. I mean, it took me years to realize that I was living and sleeping with one. And like many, when I started realizing what the behaviors were and started looking back over the course of my life, we talk about it being the family disease of Al-Anon. When I called my sister-in-law to tell her that I was leaving the first time, she said, I know, I see it. And then we talked for 2 hours about how my qualifier's brother was basically in the same boat. And we said, for years, we've been living these parallel lives and we have never talked about it. Back in March of 2023, my dad's older sister, my aunt, died in her early 80s. And for the first time, my family talked about her alcoholism around her deathbed. We didn't talk about it that much when she was alive, and yet we knew it. Everyone knew it. There was a day when my cousin was shopping with her, I don't know, he was probably 4 or 5 years old at the time. And they're in, I don't know, Vons. And she picks up one of those 1.75 liter bottles of vodka. And the little one says, "Oh, is Mimi coming to visit?" The four-year-old knew that she was a problem drinker, and yet we didn't actively talk about it, right? So the denial was just epic. And I would tell you, like so many, you know, on the outside, I joke, it was a perfect Facebook life. We would post pictures of this walk along the Seine in Paris, but I didn't post pictures of the big argument that happened after dinner and a couple of drinks. That doesn't go on Facebook. Here's this great concert that we're in Las Vegas. But I didn't post the pictures of the dozens of little mini bar bottles that I found on the floor the next morning. I went to a great Broadway show in New York City. We meet the producer of the show. We meet some of the actors. It's this amazing night. People saw those pictures. They didn't see the pictures of the security guard knocking on my hotel room door at 12 o'clock at night because of the argument that was happening. And all of this just kept happening, and I kept denying it. And I am so grateful for my friend who said, "I think you should try Al-Anon." And I thought, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I don't want anyone to know that I've been going through this. It must be my fault. What am I doing wrong? And then you told me you didn't cause it, right? You can't cure it. You can't control it. When I first realized step one, my life had become really unmanageable. It looked manageable. On the outside, I went to work every day. I had a steady job. I was doing well. And I realized I was probably a workaholic because I didn't want to come home, because I didn't know what I was going to face when I got home every evening. So sometimes it was easier to just be at work until 7 or 8 o'clock at night, because maybe if I got home, he would just be asleep and I wouldn't have to deal with it. But the words, "maybe you should try Al-Anon," were life-changing for me. I started with meetings in San Francisco, and then I started coming to meetings out in Contra Costa. Forever grateful to the women of the Friday night group. Some of you are here. You are forever in my heart. You were a huge part of my recovery. My mother also passed away in my early days of Al-Anon, and I cannot tell you how much that helped me through the things that I was already learning about, that I was responsible for my happiness. And to be able to live in the moment and to not catastrophize and imagine things that were going to happen in the future, you really helped me with that. So I thank you for that forever in my heart. So when I first started coming, you know, it was all about, it's always been literature meetings for me. So Reaching for Personal Freedom, this is one of the ones that we read in our Saturday morning group. Same with How Al-Anon Works. Every time I would just open it up and read a story. It would be a story of a total stranger at a total different part of the world, the country, and yet it was my story. I would always hear something that resonated. Even today, this morning in our meeting, we were talking about concept one. We're reading about concept one, and so much of it is about that we're part of a group, and the good of the group is the thing that we need to be concerned with, but we're also individuals, and finding that balance. And realizing that we must have that balance in our lives, that it's not all about me and it's not all about you, but it is all about us. And how do I contribute to that? I learned that I can't control it, but I can contribute to it. And I learned that I'm in charge of me. So, you know, when we talked about having a program tonight of sort of the middle schooler in Al-Anon and longer term. And I will have to admit, when I first started coming and I heard people say, and oh my gosh, tonight hearing, is there anyone who's been in Al-Anon for 72 years, 70 years, 60, 50? And I've been in meetings where someone has said, yes, 40 years. I have to admit, when I first started coming, I wondered, are you all slow learners? Why are you still here? Right? And now I know that I am just incredibly, incredibly grateful for you. So I really don't have active alcoholics in my life anymore. But I still come to Al-Anon. And that was something that I didn't understand when I first started coming, when folks would say, well, you know, no, my qualifier has passed away and I've been in recovery for 25 years and yet you're still here every Friday night, every Saturday morning, every Thursday night, great Thursday night meeting in San Francisco that was a godsend for me when I separated and I found that group. So different things have been important at different parts of my recovery. So first it was about figuring out that I really was not in control and that my life had been unmanageable and I had to admit that in order to move forward. 2 years in, I made the decision that I was going to get a divorce. And then my recovery process was all about supporting me through that process because it's hard. I don't think it matters what the circumstances are of why anyone gets divorced, but it's always a hard process to go through no matter what. And I started reading more, right? I was looking at what else do I get my hands on? And I have to laugh. I looked back. I actually looked in the cover just a couple nights ago because I made the decision to get a divorce in 2018. And the book Intimacy and Alcoholic Relationships came out in 2018. And I remember thinking, I don't need that book. I am not getting into another alcoholic relationship. I don't need this. Somebody else can read that, but not me. You can see it is now part of my library. You know, and I was getting healthier, but at the same time, anyone in the room who's ever watched Game of Thrones? Few hands going up. That ice wall, that has nothing on the wall of ice that I had built around my heart. I had said to myself, I don't want to go through this again. Like, it's not worth it. I don't want to do that. And so I didn't really think about relationships. People would say, you just got divorced. Are you dating? Let me hook you up with my friend. I'm like, you know, no, like I'm not going there right now. And I focused on my physical health. I focused on my mental health. I focused on my emotional health. And my physical health needed help. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2018. And I really think that part of that was from stuffing my feelings for a really long time. And I am so grateful that I had Al-Anon along my side when I went through that process. You were with me in surgery. You were with me in recovery. I am now 5 years out. Which is a blessing, and you have been with me every step of that journey. Right. So I spent time working on me, and what I was really lucky as well is that all the other practices that I picked up were complementary to Al-Anon. So we talk about how do you get closer to your higher power. We talk about how do you help yourself. We talk about God boxes. We talk about meditation. We talk about prayer. And these are things that were part of everything that I was starting to do in my life. And they all coalesced. I'm forever grateful for that. You know, and then eventually I started to think, well, you know, maybe it would be okay to get involved with another human being again. And I became intimate with someone who was a good friend. And one of my friends said, so, is he an alcoholic? What do you think the answer was? Oh, yeah. And that wasn't the issue. The issue was that he wasn't in recovery. And I realized when things started feeling too familiar, like, oh, here comes an argument after what had been a nice evening out. Like, I think I've been here before. Only this time I had better tools to come to that realization much earlier and to be able to pull away from that much earlier. And so there's part of me that regrets that experience, and there's part of me that I just heard a quote from Thomas Edison, and it was, I've never failed. I've just learned how to do it wrong 10,000 times. So I had another lesson, and this is not the way I want to live my life, and maybe I should try something different. And then I thought, you know, if I am going to make a stab at this, maybe I need a little bit of extra help. So I finally bought the book. And I decided I should, you know, really spend some time getting to know myself before I'm ready to be with somebody else. Because it's about, what am I bringing into this relationship? Where am I? We were talking in our meeting this morning. About completeness. We were talking about Hallmark movies, right? And these things about all these perfect pictures of how life is supposed to be. And they're like, life is not usually like that. But what I did really appreciate was that when I picked this up and I read it through, it really reminded me about what I'm responsible for and the things that are meaningful for me. So I'm going to put on my reading glasses so I can just read a little bit from this. The other thing I always find amazing in Al-Anon is sometimes, you know, we say as the spirit moves or how things happen. And so as I was thinking about talking tonight, I picked this book up and I just opened it up. And I found a few passages that made perfect sense to share. So this is from page 34. As a result, over the years, I'd built this great big wall around me as a means of protection so I wouldn't get hurt. I see now that this didn't protect me. It merely isolated me and focused me on my pain. Today, by attending meetings, sharing with my sponsor, and working the 12 steps, I've arrived at a place where I want to dismantle that wall and start to take it down. One part of me is fearful because I know that by doing so, it leaves me open to the chance of being hurt again. But I also know that if I don't take a chance, I will never move forward, learn to trust again, or rebuild this relationship. It takes a real trust in my higher power to have the faith to open myself up to the chance of being hurt. But I do know that taking that leap of faith can give me the chance for a relationship based on trust, mutual respect, and consideration. True intimacy, the relationship I believe my higher power wants us to have. That's pretty inspirational. So what did I do next? I got out my phone and I set up a Bumble account. So if folks aren't familiar with Bumble, it is a dating app. Things are a lot different now than they were back in my 20s. I remember being in a meeting where someone said, oh, it's so scary to, you know, be in your 20s and be on a dating app. I'm like, try being in your 50s and getting on a dating app. Like, this is a little terrifying. But I also learned some other things in here. There's a story where a couple shares that they wrote out a list of what they want in their relationship. And so I took the time to write out a list of, what do I want in a relationship? What's important to me? Are there some non-negotiables? I have a good friend who, when she was younger, she had a list of her qualifications for a husband that had 47 line items. She met a wonderful man to whom she is still married. When she first was dating him, he met 46 of those 47, and she was going to break up with him because he didn't meet all 47. My list did not have 47. In fact, it had 3 non-negotiables. You know, one was either not an alcoholic or an alcoholic who is in recovery. And just today I was talking to a friend, and she was saying there were some things in her neighborhood where there's a sober living house and some folks were concerned about that. And I said, I would much rather know that my neighbors are trying to live a sober lifestyle and that they have each other for support than knowing, as I do, that there are many houses on this block with active alcoholics who are not in recovery. I would take that sober living house as my next door neighbor any day. And I don't think I would have said that before coming to Al-Anon. That has made a difference. My appreciation for that is so much greater than it ever has been. That it's important to me to be with someone who desires emotional intimacy. It took me a long time to figure out the difference between physical intimacy and emotional intimacy. And this book was really helpful around that in talking about what does intimacy really mean, right? And finally, being able to communicate feelings. You know, we've heard that tonight. Sometimes we might have grown up in households where we didn't talk about things. We didn't talk about my aunt's alcoholism for 80 years. We all knew it was happening. The five-year-old knew it was happening. And yet, we didn't talk about it. Right. So I finally put myself out there. And at first, I was thinking, what do I write so that someone will like me? And then I realized it's not about trying to be something other than what I am. So I decided to put my full-on hippie out there on my profile. My profile started out with a line that said something like, sings with abandon at kirtan. Because I thought, you either know what kirtan is, or you will take the time to look up what kirtan is. And if you don't, swipe left. Don't bother me. Kirtan is a singing meditative prayer. So if you've never tried it, I would highly recommend trying it. It is a wonderful way to just feel higher power vibrating in your body. And higher power came through. I met someone pretty wonderful. And I will tell you, the first time that person came to my house, I thought, do I talk about Al-Anon? How do you deal with this? And I took all my Al-Anon books off my coffee table that first time. Yeah, they were hidden in the cupboard. Now they're out there for full view. And then I realized, this is ridiculous. This is a huge part of my life. And if I can't share that this is something that's important to me and that every Saturday morning I will be going to a meeting, and sometimes there'll be other meetings that I go to, that if you can't accept that about me, if you don't appreciate that about me, then swipe left, right? And he's still here. In fact, he's in the room. So he swept right. And so did I. And I realized it was important to be able to be who I am. I couldn't be somebody else. I can only be who I am. And if someone can't accept that, then that's not the person I want to be with. And the wonderful thing was realizing the more I was being myself, the more intimate we could be. And that all those years of trying to be something else, of trying to control things, just had the complete opposite effect. So 8 years in, I'm still very much a middle schooler, probably more like a toddler, honestly. And I'm going to keep coming back. And so for the folks that are in the room that you're, maybe it's 1 month, maybe it's 2 years, keep coming back. It gets better. It's an amazing fellowship all around the globe. It gets better. To the other middlers in the room, given all the miracles that we've seen in our lives so far, I know we have nothing but better experiences ahead. So I hope you will keep coming back and that you will still be in these rooms with me. Every meeting I'm in, I hear my own story and I see your inspiration. When I'm not strong, you lend me some of your strength. When you're not strong, I hope I can lend you some of my strength. And to the long timers, thank you. Thank you for your role modeling. Thank you for regifting Al-Anon over and over and over. It's only through the power of this fellowship that we make it come together. It is nothing short of a miracle that a group of people get together on a Saturday night. This is our date night, right? We get together on Saturday night to talk about how we create more joy in our lives by being our true selves, by realizing that we're not in control, or rather, by realizing that we give up the things we're not in control to a higher power. We control the things that we can, and we ask for wisdom. We pray for the wisdom to know the difference. The Serenity Prayer is one of the biggest gifts I think that this planet has ever been given. So thank you so much for letting me share my story with you tonight. It is so wonderful to see all of your faces live and in real life. And some of you who I think were in one of the very first Al-Anon meetings that I ever attended. So thank you very much.